This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Matt Jackson. This is my brother, Nick Jackson. We're the mother effing Young Bucks, and you are listening to the New Japan Purocast. Suck it! Super kick partay to sweet me. All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. At the time that we are recording this, it is Saturday evening, November 18th, and Damon, we are back after a week hiatus. We've got a lot to talk about today. The 2017 New Japan Purocast Year-End Awards, the third annual Year-End Awards, by the way, are up. Voting has started. We're going to talk about the nominees, as well as the World Tag League, which the first show, of course, happened earlier this morning, live from Corican Hall, and lots to dig into, Damon. How about it?
How about it? Yes, welcome back, everyone. We had a little break there. We actually did a show, right?
we
actually recorded. It was a long show, wasn't it? It was like 2 hours long. More than that.
Yeah, we were definitely pushing 2 hours.
Yeah, but I think Colin and I both kind of agree. It wasn't our best performance.
No.
It was just one of those shows where nothing seemed to click, and we were both, I think, we get criticized for being negative, right? Which I think is hilarious. I fucking love it. I love how people confuse negativity with objectivity.
And honesty.
Okay. Right, but that's okay.
I'm going to lie to our listeners from now on.
Everything's great. Everything's fucking great. But again, when we get one of those shows where it's like, you know, where we're, you know, our pants are down the entire 2 hours, it's like, you know, we get the tweets of, oh, you guys just stroking New Japan again. And it's like, you know, you can't win, and nor do we even want to fucking play the game.
I don't want to win.
No, we do the show, and it is what it is. Shoulder shrugging it right now. I'm like, well, what do you want from us? We're not going to do – this is it. Sorry. Get up the street. Go. There's a million other and that's another thing I don't understand. Like, there's a million podcasts. Everybody and their fucking mother has a podcast. Go listen to them. Go sit – there's go listen to them. They're, I'm sure you'll love them. Had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, we ain't the only ones talking about New Japan, folks. But not for nothing. We've been doing this
– 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years, right? Crazy. And
this is our third go at the awards, which I'm very proud of, and I know you are too. It's pretty exciting. So anyway, we did the show. We did an entire show, and afterward we were like, well, how are you feeling about that show? And you're like, you know, we're kind of going back. We're like, well, maybe we can take this part out. Maybe we can take that part out. And it was just like, I don't think we should. You know, we both kind of agreed. This is like, you know, this doesn't have the Purocast stamp of approval. So we said, fuck it. You know, and here's the thing, too. We were very concerned about these awards because we knew the minute we said, okay, kids, start the voting, it was going to be, I wouldn't necessarily say a floodgate, but, you know, we have this new system now. We have the document that is a lifesaver, an absolute lifesaver, because if I had to sit there counting emails, it wouldn't have gone well.
And Damon, you know who we can thank for that?
Tell me who, because that person's getting a kiss on the lips.
We can thank our good buddy, Sean Sindelman, who, man, that is a name that has been around since the inception of the Purocast. He's one of our very, very, very early listeners. And he was actually the gentleman who first developed that handy Excel sheet that we were using for the past 2 years. And, you know, we were talking on air for a while now, like, damn it, these year-end awards, how are we going to do it? We have so many more listeners. More people are watching New Japan Pro Wrestling now than ever. How the hell are we going to do this? How are we going to manage all of these thousands of votes? And Sean, he was Johnny on the spot. He came up with this great Google Doc idea. And thus far, I have to say that it has been working out quite successfully, right?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And, you know, and again, we're not the best at timely decisions. And we did kind of wait to the last minute to actually, like, all right, let's get in here and see this thing, you know, how it works and if it actually works. And it did. We were playing with it and making sure that it did what we wanted it to do. And the only thing I have to do is just, you know, simple multiplication. And away we go. We'll have the winners. And here's the thing, too. Everyone can see how the voting's going along, right? So after you vote, you can see where we are in the process, which is pretty awesome. You can go back and change your votes. So again, Sean, listen, if you're in the car and you have your significant other in the car, significant other, reach over, give him a big hug and a smooch for us, because this saved the day. And people might be like, it's a Google Doc, dude. You can't fucking figure out a Google Doc. No.
No, we couldn't, obviously.
We could not. No, we are adults when it comes to that. We are idiots. So thank you, Sean, again. Voting has begun. And Colin, we've had quite the turnout. And we haven't even talked about it on this show. We just tweeted it. We put it up on Facebook. I think we put it up on Reddit. We didn't. I did. I put it up on Reddit.
It's up on Reddit.
And you put it up on the classic board, right? The classic Japanese Facebook board, right?
Did not do that yet, actually.
Oh,
well,
Jesus
not.
Christ.
I did not do that yet.
Okay. So, that's going to be an influx. So, right now, we're pushing 500 votes right now. And that may not seem like a ton, but... We're the worst at the social media, right? We're worse than Will Ospreay.
Right? Very very timely reference, Damon.
I hear. I hear he's a. So, well, take Damon's advice. Just delete the thing. just fucking delete it. Because.
You know what's crazy? He released another tweet. I don't have it right in front of me, but it basically said in a nutshell. It said, I'm not managing this Twitter account anymore. Someone else is in charge of this, and they're going to, you know, keep you up to date with what's going on in my life. And I immediately thought, okay, so he's pulling a Damon.
Right.
He pulled a Damon.
Right. I swear to you, I did that for a weekend, and I was like, change the password. I made a mistake. I actually had a young lady that was going to run it. When I was away, and I was going to filter things in Long Beach because I was so afraid of Twitter. And I was like, listen, can you, if I text you what to say and I text you this, you can just read it over, make sure everything's hunky dory, and you can take care of it.
Imagine if you would have asked me that.
Well, so, but here's the thing, like, she works in social media, like, that's her job. It wasn't like that was too foreign of a concept. You know, honestly, she just had to understand the wrestling. And here's the thing: she's a bit of a wrestling fan herself, right? She knows she knows of certain guys, and like her favorite tag team are Best Friends. As a matter of fact, that's her favorite tag team. And she likes Dalton Castle and stuff like that. So,
sounds like a lovely young woman.
Yep. So she would, she was going to do that. And I was like, okay, this is going to be great. And then I don't know. I'm a bit of a, whatever. It didn't quite work out for her. So I was like, you better fucking delete this. Colin, change the password quickly. But everything's, have fun in Tokyo. But everything's hunky dory. Everything's fine now. So, everything worked out in the end. The moral of the story is, listen, you got to know. It's not for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not a platform for everybody, and you gotta be very mindful of that. Will, I mean, I'm kind of shoulder shrugging, but you can't you can't do that. you can't do that. You can't say those things. It's just, come on now. Come on now. You got to be smarter than that. All right. So anyway,
just to kind of recap what you were saying about the year-end awards. So you said, like, what, the numbers are in the 500s now, right?
Right now, again, without really any promotion whatsoever, just a handful of spots. We haven't talked about it on the show. So, yep, right around 500, which I was thrilled with. I mean, how many days, Colin, did we have it?
Maybe well, I was just going to say, we opened up the voting on Tuesday the 14th. So, yeah, you're correct. It's been about 4 days now. It hasn't even been a week. And voting closes on December 15th, which is a Friday. So there's a long, long while yet for people to get in their votes. So I can't wait to see what that number is come Friday, December 15th.
Again, I don't think we're tooting our own horn with this. I know that there are people that work for this company, New Japan, that follow along, that know of these awards. And again, I feel like this is one avenue that people can really voice their voice.
Wrestling.
On the Voices of Network podcasting. Columns. Opinions.
Opinions. Colin.
Colin Miller's. Every time that comes on, that little voice that comes on, I go Collins instead of Columns. Because I'm wacky. It's where fans of the product can truly say, I like this. This didn't work for me. This person had an outstanding year. This tag team had a great year. And it's fun. I actually enjoy it. And I'll tell you the biggest thing that I really enjoy are unfortunately on the form, it doesn't really allow too much flexibility with this when it comes to creativity. We have some funny fucking listeners. That's really what I want to say. We have some fucking hilarious listeners. And really, you see that is when they do least favorite wrestler. Least favorite wrestler is so funny. Sometimes some of the shit that they put up there. Somebody put me, Colin.
I saw that. You had texted me that, and I believe that it was actually written in Japanese, and you had to translate it?
Yeah, so on Reddit, somebody put something like, least favorite wrestler, I hope you can read Japanese. I was like, oh, all right. I mean, was he going to put like Yano in Japanese or I don't know, whatever.
So Izuka. There was only
but there was only like one in least favorite that had Japanese. So I do the old copy, paste in Google Translate. I'm like, I wonder who this is going to be. And it was Damon McDonald. I was like, what, motherfucker? But it was hilarious. I actually laughed my ass off.
That is pretty funny.
Because I did get suckered right into that one. So, yes, I'm not a pro wrestler, so voting is for me is a wasted vote. But we've had some funny stuff, man. People letting it be known, that's always good. But yes, you can vote now. Colin, can you share with our lovely listeners, our fine listeners, where they can vote, how they can vote, what method? Where can they find this link?
Okay, so currently you can find the link pinned to the top of our Twitter account. And at the top of our Facebook account. Now, what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and put a link on our website, newjapanpurocast.com. That's not up yet, but I'm going to try and get it up there. And I'm going to talk to that Rich Kreich guy and see if he can maybe put that up on the good old Voices of Wrestling website. So currently, as of this recording, as I'm speaking, it is pinned to the top of our Twitter and Facebook accounts. So, I mean,
Excellent. Literally
all you have to do is Google New Japan Purocast. Our Twitter and Facebook pops right up, and the link is pinned right there. But
that's my SEO work right there that made that happen, just FYI. You know, you Google New Japan Podcast, New Japan Pro Wrestling Podcast. Guess who comes up number one?
I recently noticed that for the first time the other day, as a matter of fact. So good work by you, Damon. And not for nothing, you really took the bull by the horns this year with the year-end awards. I mean, this is the most, like, this was almost your baby in a way.
Do everything else.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like, I gotta do something, right? I mean, but here's the thing, though. Sean did the sheet, right? All I did was test it, make sure, do the categories. We talked over the nominees, which we'll get to shortly. I mean, I just tested out the dock to make sure it worked. You know, I spent about an hour and a half.
You were really emotionally invested in it, though, this year, yes, more than ever. So
I was having panic attacks in July, for crying out loud.
Well, hey, I almost made this harder than it had to be, because for whatever reason, I was super OCD about who the nominee should be and how many matches should be in Match of the Year, how many wrestlers should be in Wrestler of the Year. So, you know, you kind of, like imagine this, you kind of talked me down off of a ledge here in a way. Yeah. So it's like the bizarro world.
This podcast is very stressful.
It is a very stressful podcast, but we do enjoy it.
We do.
And our listeners enjoy it.
I think they do. And again, by the turnout, the votes, and I'm sure that we'll have a nice spike come when this podcast is released and everybody gets to listen. All right. So you know how to get there. You know how to do it. Let's talk a little bit about the process of us coming up with some of these categories and the names that were nominated. You want to dig right in?
Yeah, sure. Let's jump right into it. Unless you want to talk World Tag League first.
Well, we could do the radio tease on the World Tag League. To me, I think the year-end awards are a little bit more exciting.
I almost said, do you want to get World Tag League out of the way first? I almost said, I guess I did say that just now, but
it's up to you. Let's do. I think, to me, a more interesting conversation are the year-end awards.
Agreed.
You know, as we get deeper into World Tag League, we'll absolutely get deeper into those shows. I watched the Corkin show that was just the other day, or just this morning.
This morning.
I did watch it. We'll get into that. We'll get into that in a second. I don't think it was a bad show, but it was an opening World Tag League that had some interesting results, I will say. And I think that will tell a tale a little bit later on down the road. But let's do awards first.
Alrighty, Damon. Very good. So first category, Wrestler of the Year. And this, again, 2017 has been such a wild year in New Japan Pro Wrestling, unlike any other year. And we really sort of, I don't want to say struggled, but kind of mulled over how many people we should include, who should we include, because right off the bat, we know who four of the nominees are going to be, right?
Right. Bone Soldier.
Right. Bone Soldier, Takashi Iizuka, and Yujiro. Yep. And Yano.
Yes.
Those are the four obvious nominees.
The Mount Rushmore. Yes.
Right. Seriously, though. So we know right off the we knew right off the bat that we had to include Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada, and Tetsuya Naito.
Right.
Hard part came when we were kind of going back and forth, who should number five be? Should there be more than five? Because, again, we had so many people just putting in amazing performances this year. I mean, the Match of the Year category kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah. So our conversation kind of revolved around one person. And if that person was going to be in, well, then why not other people, right? So we wanted to do five, maybe even do more, because also – we did like the idea of people having their voice, and when they're limited to five, it does kind of pigeonhole them into those five, and maybe they think somebody else, you know, is deserving. We want to make sure that voice gets recognized, and that vote gets recognized. And the one person that we really struggled with, well, really there were three, and then a fourth one kind of dangled around. So Kushida,
yes,
was really the one for both of us where it's like, okay, is he in or is he out? I'll give you my take, Colin, first, and then you can kind of follow up with which way you wanted to go with it.
Sure.
Obviously, he is not in the Wrestler of the Year. And that was a struggle because he had an absolutely killer second half of the year. Aside from the Dome show, it's kind of hard to say that he had a wonderful year until Best of the Super Juniors. So that's one thing where I was like, okay, that little period where he was on the back burner, what did he do? The second thing was, he's a junior, and we have a category that's specific for juniors. So in my mind, it was, okay, if we're going to nominate him for Wrestler of the Year, And again, I'm not a big fan of not blurring the lines of junior and heavyweight. I think they should all be wrestling each other in this day and age. New Japan's really the only promotion that I can think of that sticks to this really hardcore.
Agreed.
And if he's going to be in that wrestler of the year category, then he's got to be the junior of the year. And I don't think he was. Right? And if you look at our voting right now, he's not. So I struggled. I struggled with putting in Kushida just for that one reason. If he's going to be in that upper echelon group, then he's got to be junior of the year. And I don't think he was. Colin, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, Kushida, I think that you could certainly make a case for him being one of the top five wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and not only New Japan, but just one of the great all-around workers in the business today. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would agree. Yes, I would. And but in the same breath, I can't put him in top five for Wrestler of the Year in New Japan.
Yeah, just kind of seeing his name next to Kenny Omega and Tetsuya Naito and Okada, of course, and Tanahashi. It's just one of those things that didn't feel right. And again, like you said, he had his year in New Japan. He had a better second half of the year than he did the beginning half, aside from the Tokyo Dome. And with this Wrestler of the Year category, you've got to remember, we're not only taking into account in-ring performances, we're taking into account various different things, such as
being at the top of the card and a draw,
right?
Whatever that means, right? So that's one thing I did struggle with too, because that's not his fault. That's not his fault.
He's like, not booking himself,
right? He's not right.
He's so not Nash in WCW,
right? You know. So, I mean, that's not his fault. But in the same breath, if we're putting all those other people and using that as criteria to be who's the MVP of New Japan this year, right? How can I say, well, he's a junior, so that doesn't really apply to him, right? I don't know. I struggled with that. And again, a lot of what I struggled with isn't his fault, because guess what? If you just said, okay, he's not a junior, he's a heavyweight, right? Because in every other promotion that he wrestles in, he's kind of treated that way, right?
Yeah, look at him in Ring of Honor, for example.
Right. He's the TV champ. But again, it's not his fault. But in the same breath, I can't not consider it when I consider it for all the other guys that are considered for Wrestler of the Year. So I think that was really one of our struggles, right? Is Kushida, can we put Kushida in that? And I'm very curious as to what our listeners think of that process.
Do you want to talk about another name that we sort of batted around for Wrestler of the Year?
Yeah, go ahead.
Michael Elgin.
Yeah. And that was more me, I think. I think I was more pushing toward that than you.
Yeah, I really wasn't a big advocate of putting Michael Elgin in Wrestler of the Year, truth be told. And that's not to say that he didn't have some freaking amazing matches. I mean, he had a 5-star match with Tetsuya Naito at the New Beginning. He had those great matches two great matches with Kenny Omega during the course of the year, right? One in Long
yep.
Beach, one in the G1, which was one of my favorite matches of the G1. The match against Okada from the G1, another one of the best matches of the tournament. So there were certainly no shortage of great Michael Elgin performances in 2017. However, you've really got to take a look at his year as a whole. I think that if you were to survey not only our listeners, but most fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I don't want to say none of them would, but I want to say most of them wouldn't. Michael Elgin's name wouldn't be on their short list.
Yeah, it's. You know, there's a level, and trust me, of taking all of his great matches and the year that he's had into consideration, you take the year that he's had and put it in just about any other promotion, and you know, he's in the upper echelon. He's just not in the upper echelon. And again, that might have something to do with the way that he's booked, or the lack thereof, and the kind of meandering that he's been doing a lot of this year.
He's got to be frustrated, I would think, anyway.
Yeah, I would say so.
Considering
say
he's
so.
A guy who can wrestle at a very, very high level. And again, there couldn't possibly be a spot for everyone, you know, right, high up on the card. However, with that being said, Michael Elgin, great wrestler who has just, like you said, been kind of meandering for a while now.
For a while. And again, I think the World Tag League is you know, people are penciling him and Cobb in, even though apparently Cobb's not even booked for Wrestle Kingdom.
Just that could FYI. Be telling.
right. I mean, that I'm aware of anyway. At least that's the word I'm getting. Is that he's not even penciled in for Wrestle Kingdom. So, and that can change tomorrow. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned with that. But, you know, look, I that's a nice spot for Michael Elgin, I think. I think it's a nice spot. Not everybody can be, you know, the king of the hill. So if
Hank Hill.
He's in the a hill, right. So, you know, if he's in the mix, I think that's good to ask for. So again, Michael Elgin not in, but one person who is in. And if you think, you know, if you take his body of work throughout the year, I think you can't, more than even Michael Elgin, you can't deny it. You just can't turn a blind eye to it. And that's Ishii. That's Tomohiro Ishii.
Tomohiro Ishii has got to be one of the best pro wrestlers in the world right now. And
even
that's saying
a lot.
For
the past 3 years.
Oh my God, yeah. And just to think that this guy is in his 40s now, and he is still delivering these unbelievable performances.
The unbelievable. I'm surprised he gets out of bed. Right? I'm surprised he can fucking move at this point.
I know. It's like he's aging like a fine wine, Damon.
Delicious wine. So he's one of those guys where he's always on the bubble. He's always, you know, the past 3 years, he's you know, we just couldn't ignore it. We couldn't ignore him anymore. We had to give him his due. Maybe it was one of those things where it was just like, just fucking put him in. And if people vote for him, people vote for him. And he's gotten votes.
Oh, I bet he has.
He absolutely has gotten votes. Not a lot of first place votes, truth be told. But a decent amount of second place votes, lots of third place votes. And he's running away with another category that we'll get to later. But he's running away with that. So, look, I think that one was... You couldn't shoulder shrug and eye roll Ishii anymore. We probably opened up an extra spot just to say fuck it, just put him in, right? Just put him the fuck in. He needs to be recognized for who he is and what he does for this company.
And by the way, as you alluded to earlier, Damon, we did record that podcast last week, and one of the things I wanted to mention from that podcast was, listen, guys, you've got to do yourself a favor and go check out that Ishii versus Keith Lee match from the Rev Pro show. What was it, like last weekend? Oh my God, what an unbelievable match! What a pleasure to watch. And I want to start the petition right now. I want to see Keith Lee in next year's G1 Climax.
You like that big boy, do you?
Yeah. He's one of my favorite guys. He's right out there with Matt Riddle for me.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, one day with Matt, hopefully, and
hopefully,
yeah, Keith Lee, man, he's you know what? I have not watched that match yet.
I didn't watch the Riddle Suzuki match yet. That's one that's still on my list. I need to watch. But dude, do yourself a favor, go watch Keith Lee versus Ishii. 4.75 stars at least.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, everybody's been raving about it, and it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, I got this going on. And it's only going to get worse. You know, I got to go out tomorrow and buff a car.
You were telling me all about that.
Oh, what a name. Somebody scratched my car, guys. Somebody fucking scratched my car. Not like a little nick. Like, this is a door to front headlight scratch. Somebody, Somebody fucked me. It's really depressing. I really feel like I was, somebody hurt me bad. I really feel terrible. All right. Let's get out. Snap out of that, Damon. All right. So Ishii is in. There was one more name that we briefly discussed. And the only reason I mentioned it to Colin was, you know, when you're going through the matches of the year and you're looking at all the 4.5s and 4.75s and fives and remember
six and
matches,
quarter and
six and quarter,
seven,
right? 22, 8 on its side. One name kept popping up.
Kept.
Yeah, I gotta work on my verb tenses. Kota Ibushi.
Yes.
Kota Ibushi's name kept popping up a lot. And I was like, wow, this guy's had a fucking great year. And, you know, we're considering the W nonsense. Trust me, we're that's Kota Ibushi. Sorry, we're not splitting that up.
You were more of an advocate for that than I was.
I was.
Because to
I saw snowflakes next to his name.
I know, but here's the thing, and you've got to admit that he definitely did wrestle differently as Tiger Mask W. It wasn't full on Kota Ibushi like the Kota Ibushi we saw in the G1 against Naito on the opening night.
Right. No. Exactly. No. But that Okada match was stellar. It was a great match.
It was very good.
Yes. Oh, you're going very good, huh?
Yep. It was a very good match.
All right. I'm going great. But you know, you look at his name from throughout the year. Lots of snowflakes next to that name. Again, he had that long stretch of, you know, doing the W, and you didn't really see a lot of him. But, you know, when he got back into the groove, G1 on. Listen, there ain't a guy that had a better second half of the year. Not many, anyway. He had a great second half of the year. G1 and on, Kota Ibushi's name was there. So, again, we struggled with that one a little bit. I think I pushed a little bit harder than Colin did on that, but he wound up not making it.
Yeah, so to me, he just wasn't in New Japan in 2017 as Kota Ibushi enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I agree. I see.
He didn't show up until July.
But G1 and on for the year. But so yeah, it was tough. So again, the names we did go with, obviously Hiroshi Tanahashi, Okada, Omega, Naito, Ishii, all those guys for wrestler of the year, and I think that's a good list.
Yeah, I think those are five solid nominees for our listeners to choose from.
Last year's winner was
Tetsuya Naito, and
that is correct.
If I had to fathom a guess, Damon, I would say that this year's winner is going to be Kazuchika Okada.
He's doing very well. Let's put it that way. I don't want to make anyone feel that their vote doesn't count at this point, because it absolutely does. But he is he's doing very well for himself. I would say right now him and one Kenneth Omega are battling it out right now. So if you're a Naito fan, if you feel like he's had a better year than both those gentlemen, by all means, get your vote in. It's going to count.
If you feel like Hiroshi Tanahashi has had a standout year, which I think you could certainly make the argument for that.
Yeah.
By all means, place your vote for Tanahashi.
I think Tanahashi right now, just again, looking at the numbers, again, the early returns, Colin, as they like to say.
The exit polling.
The exit polling. Yes, we know how reliable that is. Omega. Okada. Not in that order. Ishii's doing very well for himself.
Good.
Ishii's doing well for himself.
To me, Ishii is like the North American fans' favorite wrestler.
Kenny Omega's winning that one.
But besides the big four, I mean.
Yeah. Naito's doing well for himself. I think the Tanahashi might come in last place. I mean, of the five.
That wouldn't surprise me. Although, like I said, I mean, he's had a lot of great performances this year, many of which are included in Match of the Year. See that segue, Damon?
Nice work by you, Colin. You're a professional broadcaster.
I am. Worked for the Howard Stern Show. I don't know if you know that or not. I was a production assistant.
Yeah. Fowler told me.
Doug Fowler on 316 Gimmick Street.
That's him. All right. So what are we? So that segue led us to what match of the year, Colin? Right?
Yeah, match of the year. Listen, I don't think we could possibly name every single match. And I mean, God, we'd be here until what's it? It's 7 p.m. right now. We'd be here until 7 a.m. So
I know we're doing a show on a Saturday night. Unbelievable! Unbelievable! The what we do for you people. Yeah, there are we struggled with match of the year, and the reason why we struggled with this category so much was we had to stop. We had to put on the brakes. We had to say, okay, we can't put any more matches in here, right? Really, we kind of had a – what was our floor? Was our floor anything above 4.5, right?
Yeah, it was basically 4.5 on.
Yeah. I mean, that's us kind of talking it out. That's, of course, we're using Meltzer as a helpful guide just to kind of jog our memories, making sure that – matches get in. And here's the thing. I wanted, again, this is another perfect example of, I just wanted people to have their voice, because especially for match of the year, people like different things. People like different matches. And I didn't want to limit it to just 5. You know, I didn't think that was fair. I wanted people to be able to say, there's my match. Yes. Or, you know what? That's the second. Absolutely. So I wanted it to be a hodgepodge. I wanted it to be, and I think Damon,
you're Damon. I'm Colin.
I wanted Colin to kind of feel the same way too. You know, just and I think that he did at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I
eventually did come around. I mean, I see the thing that I was worried about with all of these categories really was that if we included, you know, more than 5 nominees, I didn't want to water down the category is what I'm trying to say. I didn't want to make it seem not special by including everyone. But like I said at the beginning of this podcast, 2017, as we all know, was just an exceptional, extraordinary year. And like you were saying, I mean, I'm sure that there are many people out there, many people listening to this podcast who are saying to themselves, you know, I really love Goto and Shibata from this year's Wrestle Kingdom. I would really like to give that a vote.
Yeah, absolutely got votes. You know, people voted for Kushida Will Ospreay from Best of the Super Juniors. And that was a great match. But that could definitely get lost in the mix with what, you know, was produced this year. Tanahashi Ibushi from Power Struggle. That got votes.
How about Naito? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Naito and Ishii from King of Pro Wrestling.
I was going to say Naito and Elgin. How about that one?
No, yeah, absolutely got some votes.
Great match.
You know, the G1 from Okada and Suzuki, and even, you know, the New Beginnings. There's so many matches. You know, Omega and Elgin got votes. You know, stuff from both Long Beach and G1. So, again, my biggest concern with the match of the year was that there was so many great matches won. We could have gone over 30 easily.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to make sure that we got the best of the best, one. And two, I wanted to make sure that we had a wide variety. I didn't want to just have Omega and Okada, even though, you know, between Dominion and Wrestle Kingdom, those matches are doing very well in the exit polls. I wanted to have other matches in there, and again, really what's the most interesting part as of right now, and again, everybody can see the results, so you can follow along, is the third place. Third place is where you really get a nice mix. People tend to gravitate toward, you know, the Omega and the Okada matches, which, truth be told, I they're going to be hard to beat. I can't imagine them being beat. They're just masterpieces.
Do you think, let me just interject this really quick. Yeah. Do you think that it's possible that first, second, and third place are all going to be dominated by Omega Okada?
Could be.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Shibata and Okada is doing very well. So that if I were going to give a prediction right now as to who takes this, I think it's going to, right now, it's neck and neck between Wrestle Kingdom and Dominion. It's neck and neck. So it's too close to call, as they would say in the political game. Too close to call in North Carolina. Too close to call in match of the year. But I think one of those matches, Shibata, Okada, that one's going to squeak in. I think that one might get under the radar and boop, make that third place run.
And I'm looking at this massive list of matches that we have here, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, gee, I really need to go back and give that a rewatch, because truth be told, a lot of these matches I just forgot about. So yeah, it would be cool to have, like, you know, like I said, last year, one of our followers on Twitter did a thing where they had like a Purocast end of year awards match rewatch, like leading up until the closing of the votes. So it'd be kind of cool to get that going and turn this into a fun little activity for us all to participate in rewatching all of these matches.
Wouldn't be a bad idea, you know. Look, all of them are on New Japan World, right?
So New Japan with Damon, what's that?
That's a streaming service that they have, Colin. I don't know if you know.
Okay, $9.99.
Yes. Speaking of which, I have not as of yet signed up for the Big Japan streaming service.
Are you going to?
No. Well, here's why. Because they pay for the IPTV, right?
Right.
So a lot of the stuff is on Samurai TV, right?
Okay.
So
it almost wouldn't make sense for you to have yet another subscription, and you're already.
Well, I kind of feel bad because, like, I you know, that money's going to some pirate in China.
You know? literal pirate?
Well, right. He goes,
it's going to Johnny Depp.
He's like, you like the Big Japan, do you? You like the samurai, do ya?
It's got a wooden leg.
Yeah, yeah.
A hook for a hand.
Yep, absolutely.
Keith Richards tattoo.
So it's, you know, I do kind of feel bad because I'd like to give the promotion some money, but trust me, they'll get plenty of my money come, you know, January when we see, I think we're going to 3 different Big Japan shows. So
it'd be awesome too if, like, his router was like out on a ship somewhere, like literally in the middle of the ocean, and he's just sailing around.
I think how it works is it goes again. It's like this server in China. I think that's how it really works. So I mean, look, if there was a way that I could give them the money directly, listen, Samurai has a streaming service
that's available in North America.
No, Colin, they don't want it.
Okay.
Yeah, all they got to do is just open it up. Oh, and here's another thing. Speaking of opening it up, Colin.
Uh-oh.
This impacts us, too, and I know we're going to go off into a little bit of a tangent, so bear with me here. You're familiar with that net neutrality, right?
Yes, I am.
That's important. That impacts podcasts.
It's one of my biggest issues, for sure.
Right. So make sure, do what you can. Write an email, people, if you're listening to this, to your representatives here in the States. This is a States kind of thing, kids. Net neutrality basically means that all traffic is created equal, right? So your Netflix, your Hulus, your WWE networks, your New Japan Worlds, your Purecasts.
Your Pornhubs.
Right. So the important stuff. All of that is treated equal, right? As it should be. It's data. Well, looks like the cable companies, they want to kind of put some kind of like on your cell phone, your mobile phone. It's not right. All traffic is equal. Again, do your part. You're not going to do it, but just I'm asking you to do it anyway.
Please.
Yeah,
if you enjoy this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to impact you, whether you think it ain't, it is. So if you watch anything online, or you're downloading anything online, or you're enjoying any type of media online, you know, it's important. Your cable bill is going to go up to pay for services. It's not right. So come on, people, be socially aware. Let's make sure this doesn't ruin all of us. Really. All right, there's my rant for the day. All right, so we are done with the match of the year. We talked a little bit about that. What else we got, Colin?
Next category: Junior of the Year.
So again, if Kushida is going to be in Wrestler of the Year, which again we didn't put him in. He would have to be Junior of the Year, which I struggled with a little bit.
I see you took a little bit of creative license here in Junior of the Year.
What did I do?
And put a nominee in there that I... Not that I didn't know about, but I was kind of on the fence about. But in hindsight, I kind of do agree with it now.
I know, because we had a long conversation
before
we released it. So maybe I fucked up and forgot that one. I didn't do anything intentionally. Trust me. I didn't. Who was it? Is it Taguchi?
Yes, it is Taguchi.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we were going back and forth on that one. I think he had a solid year. I think he played an important role in mid cards. I think he was a solid hand. He was junior tag champ on a team that's been nominated for higher things. I think he had a solid year when it comes to juniors.
And you know what? I'm going to say, and you may disagree with this, but in 2017, we saw more serious pro wrestler Taguchi than we saw jokester Taguchi. Or at least a heavier influx of serious Taguchi this year, more so than other years. Would you agree with that?
No.
Okay.
Sorry,
right.
But that's okay. But here's what I would say. I think the perception of that might be because when it was time for him to be serious, he was top notch.
He was on.
Yeah, he was really on, and I think that helped his year tremendously. He had plenty of silliness with Taguchi Japan, right?
For sure. I'm not saying that he did.
Third base coach and the whole ass spots. Listen, the man got his ass eaten. He deserves some recognition.
He did by Azuka, right?
That is correct. So listen, he deserves to put up with that nonsense.
Azuka took a big bite out of it.
He took a big chunk out of his hiney. Look, I think he had a solid year. I think he deserves the recognition for the year that he had. And, yes, there was plenty of nonsense, but there was still plenty of good stuff to pardon a pun here, Colin. Ready for it? To sink your teeth into.
Ah, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Very good. So let's go through the nominees here. So we have Will Ospreay, a very controversial figure.
Again, it is, and that's I can't, how, you know, for what happened, how can he not be? You know, it's just one of those head scratching things, man. But that aside,
we're talking about the pro wrestling here,
right? In ring, you can't deny just the super junior performance was tremendous.
Oh my god, that match against Kushida. Was that might end up in one of my votes for sure. It might.
Match of the year?
Not first place, but
in the mix.
Could be in the mix. Definitely one of my favorite matches of the year, and probably my favorite Will Ospreay performance of the year.
Yeah, it's got to be up there, right? I think he's had two solid matches with Skrull, right?
Yes. One from Best of the Super Juniors, and of course the one we saw most recently at Power Struggle.
Yep. So you had to put him in the mix. You had to put him in it. He's got plenty of third place votes right now. Not too many first place votes that I can see. So that might not play in his favor. He's got a little bit. Let's put it this way. He's broke 50. Broke 50 people voting for him for first place. So people are recognizing him right now. Kushida, I would say this is a three-dog race so far. So Ospreay is in the mix. Kushida, obviously, is in the mix.
Marty Skrull.
Marty Skrull is going to be maybe not. I think just his position in Bullet Club helps him.
Yeah, definitely. He's a bit of a wild card in this category.
Yeah, I can't see him getting past. I don't see him in first place. That's for sure. I think the best we're looking at for Marty is him with a late surge for third.
I feel like we had to include him though, yeah. Because like,
well, who are you going to put in there? Fucking Chase Owens.
Well, no. Listen. I think that a lot of people probably will be questioning the absence of Ricochet in this category.
Well, Ricochet broke your heart. So
He did. He signed a lease in Orlando.
All right.
And I think that we'll be seeing him on one of those takeover gimmicks sooner rather than later. One of which is tonight, by the way. There's War Games going on.
As we speak?
No, not as we speak, but it is taking place tonight. Never thought I'd be saying that in 2017. But then again, I never thought I'd say a lot of things in 2017.
That's a good point. Is the controversy is if there was going to be a roof on the cage?
There's no roof on the cage.
That's not War Games then, and then that's not War Games. You need a roof.
That's the argument.
I'm pro roof.
I'm pro roof as well. How could you not be?
How can you not be? That's kind of what makes the War Games the War Games.
Right. Otherwise, it's just a glorified cage match.
Yeah. Are they going to do the flip the coin, heels win? You know, every time they did War Games, heels always won. The coin flip. I can't tell you how many times I won that bet from friends. Be like, heels, horsemen are going to win the bet. No, they're not. I'll bet you $10. Yay, I always won.
I have no idea, but getting back. Go ahead.
Marty Scurll. So, again, he's very popular. Again, wearing that black and white t-shirt always helps.
Got over with the Japanese audience pretty fast, if I don't say so myself.
Say so yourself. And again, I think to this day, the best entrance in pro wrestling. I will say that about Marty. But again, it's going to be a struggle because there's a couple people that have had better years, and I would agree. One of those people being?
Hiromu Takahashi.
I would agree. He right now is a distant first place, I would say.
He came in like a wrecking ball, Damon.
I know. Who sings that? Do you know?
Of course I know who sings that. It's Miley Cyrus.
Wow. All
right. I'm not that out of touch. I mean, listen, I'm still listening to Dokken on a daily basis, but I'm not that out of touch with pop
Mr.
culture.
Mr. TMZ over here. Oh, gee. Wow.
I still listen to Rat, yes, but come on. Calm down.
All right. Who was the singer of Rat?
Stephen Piercy.
That is correct. He was one of my like when I was a kid growing up, I was like, oh, I would cut off a finger.
If I could be Stephen Piercy for a day.
Yeah. Oh, he was the coolest guy in the world.
Who was the guitar player for Rat?
I know that. D. Amari, is it? Or something like that?
You're close. Warren DeMartini.
I mean, that's closer than you thought I was going to get, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed, Damon. Super underrated player.
You know how I know that?
How?
Cream Magazine.
Ah.
Magazine was the shit back in the day, right? What was the other one? Circus, right?
Yeah, Circus.
Circus was the other metal magazine. See, I know it. Listen, I'm not. I was looking for the Duran Duran stuff. I was more in the 16 magazine.
you're more into Tiger Beat.
I was a Tiger Beat. You know, Sean Cassidy, Rick Springfield, Duran Duran.
Leaf Cassidy.
Oh, my Lord. Takahashi's had a great year.
Takahashi, yeah.
Takahashi came in, just like you said, Colin, like a wrecking ball. And just lit the world on fire. And while, you know, you can go back and forth and you can be the cat-hating individual that you are, the thing with Daryl helped him. He could have easily, the way that he was booked, he could have easily fallen out of favor with a lot of people just by treading water. But that silly cat gimmick, that silly stuffed animal gimmick, that helped him, man.
Not my cup of tea, but listen, it got over.
It absolutely did, and it kept him, kept people talking about him, kept him in the mix. And again, I like the silliness with him because it fits him. Like, he's just a maniac, right? It fits him. Of course he's going to have a stupid stuffed animal. Of course, you know, he's going to get upset when Fale shreds it to pieces. And the internet explodes. That's fun stuff. I had no problem with that. I really didn't. Would I've liked to have him to be in the mix all year? Of course. But then, you know, who else is going to get a shot at the spotlight? So right now, Colin, truth be told, it's not even close. He's running away with it. He's had a great year. And the fans are recognizing it.
I figured. And one more thing I want to mention about Takahashi. do yourself a favor. Before you are placing your vote for match of the year, go back and watch that Takahashi versus Dragon Lee match from New Beginning. I think that's a match that kind of flies under the radar. It's a match that a lot of people forgot, but it was that might be in my top 10 favorite matches of the year. I personally love that match.
I wish it was getting more votes. I can understand why it's not. It's just a tough year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, honestly, are you going to go in your top three? Are you going to, even if you, let's just say the top two are out of the way, right? They're just.
Right.
Are you going to put Okada Shibata over Takahashi Dragon Lee? Yeah. Right?
Probably. Safe bet.
You're going to put G1 Okada Omega over Dragon Lee Takahashi?
I'm not sure that G1 Okada Omega is going to be in my list.
Okay. Just gun to your head. Are you putting that one over Takahashi Dragon Lee, or are you going Dragon Lee Takahashi? And trust me, I love Takahashi Dragon Lee.
Gun to my head. I mean, I guess I'd probably, you know, see, here's the thing though. Like I almost feel, here's the thing about the Okada Omega trilogy. Three of the greatest pro matches in pro wrestling history, but I feel like there's almost like a pressure, like you better include this match, better be your number one. Don't you feel like there's like a pressure for that in some ways?
No. I mean, well, maybe. I think
my match of the year, my number one match of the year, at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Okada Omega from the Tokyo Dome, just because I'll never forget the way I felt watching that match. But that's probably going to be the only Okada Omega match in my three votes.
Really? Yeah. See, I went Dominion. I went Dominion number one. And trust me, I had the live bump, right? So, you know, I could have just been totally biased and said, well, I was there. I felt the energy. I'd never felt anything like it. It was unbelievable. One of the greatest matches, it was the greatest match I ever saw live. Just and all the other ancillary stuff that happened that day that would just give it little more nudges to make it great. I thought Dominion was better.
And a lot of people feel Dominion was better. Meltzer feels Dominion was better. Here's the thing about the Okada Omega trilogy. I feel that each one of those three matches has a very distinct flavor and feel to it. And, like, you know, who am I to argue with someone whose favorite Okada Omega match is the G1 match? Like, am I going to sit there and argue and say, well, no, actually, Dominion got 6.25 stars, so really the best one. And the if the G1 match is your favorite, then that's your favorite. If the Tokyo Dome match is your favorite out of the trilogy, that's your favorite. Who cares? Yes. It's all subjective.
I would say it's a lot of it is subjective. Absolutely. And again, that's why we wanted to have so many matches. That was important because, hey, listen, if you think Dragon Lee and Takahashi is match of the year, fucking vote for it, man. Do it. That's what this is here for. It's your voice.
That's why we included so damn many matches.
Right. But here's the thing. It's not like we just decided to pick some fucking, you know, these are great matches that stand up. They deserve, every one of them deserves to be in the mix. Vote for who you want to vote for. Here's what I would suggest. Here's going to be my suggestion. Use Meltzer's as a guide. Use what we say here on the podcast as a guide. But at the end of the day, you got to go with your gut. You got to go
for
what you like.
What you believe in.
Yep. Give me something to believe in, Colin.
That's right. Poison.
Give me some. That is correct. All right. So that's that for Takahashi. Who else? Have we got any more nominees for Junior? We covered them all?
Yeah, we already talked about Taguchi. So, yeah, we covered all the Junior of the Year nominees. Next category, Tag Team of the Year.
This one was let me give you my feelings on this as we stand right now. There's a team. They're known as the Young Bucks, Colin. Maybe you've heard of them. They're the new sensation sweeping the nation.
Yeah, I think I know those kids. They've been known to sell a t-shirt or two and draw a house or two. Yeah.
Yes.
What about them?
So I was like, in the beginning, I was kind of scratching my head looking at the early polls. Because to me, right out of the gate, I was like, this is a War Machine slam dunk, right?
That was my first inkling, yeah.
But in digging deeper, and I'm looking at all these votes come in for Young Bucks. Look, I'm sure that there are more than a few that are voting Young Bucks just because they like the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. That's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that you're going to get that. But in looking at the year that they have had and the matches that they participated in, they've had a lot of good matches that have flown under the radar. They've been consistently good throughout the year when they are in New Japan.
They have. However, with that being said, I'm going to say right here, right now, that voting for the Young Bucks in first place was more obvious in 2016 than it was in 2017, this year.
Yes, yes. And I think War Machine and the voting is kind of dictating that. That first place is still up for grabs, absolutely. It is 100% up for grabs. I will say that the Young Bucks are, again, early exit polls are showing that the Young Bucks are there. But the thing that's going to make this even closer is I think just about everybody who voted, it looked like, if they voted at least, if they didn't vote War Machine 1, they voted War Machine 2, right? And that's going to help them in the long run. Because, again, 5 points first place, 3 points second place, 1 point third place. So those second place votes are going to add up. And that's what's making it even closer than I thought it might be just looking at first place votes for Young Bucks.
And I feel like War Machine, you know, really deserves those votes because not for nothing, they were the most exciting thing about this fledgling heavyweight tag division. I mean,
yes.
they were the ones kind of holding it together, were they not?
I tend to agree. They were about the only thing I was looking forward to when it came to heavyweight tag matches. I will say this, that they were in three matches that were, you know, they got better as they went along, but, and again, they were the highlight of those matches, but those matches still were what those matches were, right? So I can see where people are like, and again, I think there is residual from people just being fans of the Young Bucks, right? And maybe taking that into consideration for the year, but again, digging a little deeper, the matches that they've had have been really good. And I'd almost say largely forgettable, but I did forget about them. I did forget about the good matches that they did have. And again, I hope that people aren't using Ring of Honor. I hope people aren't using Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I hope people aren't using other places that Bucks might wrestle as an influence, because that would be... We don't want to do that.
Yeah, because if that's the case, then hell, I'm voting for Ishii Keith Lee as one of my matches of the year.
Well, somebody voted as their favorite wrestler was Keith Lee. Somebody voted for that.
Really?
But again, those write-ins, some of them people are just busting balls.
I don't think Keith Lee ever wrestled in a New Japan ring before.
Well, people voted Sami Callihan as least favorite. Right?
The poor guy didn't even set foot in the ring yet.
Yeah, he's already getting sliced.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So there's that. Who else is?
my favorite wrestler of the year is AJ Styles.
Well, there's people who voted Roman Reigns as least favorite.
I'm writing in AJ.
You're writing in AJ? All right.
Yeah, no, not really. So we got, okay. Young Bucks, War Machine, Ricochet and Taguchi, one of the most interesting things about the junior tag division early on in the year.
I enjoyed them. I thought they were really fun. The matches were great. The hijinks was good. It was kept to a relatively digestible state. I liked them. I thought they were a highlight. They're getting plenty of votes. They're doing well.
GOD has to be in there, you know, regardless of how you feel about them when the bell rings. I mean, listen, they're one of the main fixtures of the heavyweight tag division, multiple time IWGP heavyweight champions. They've done a lot this year.
Less than 10 first place votes.
Wow.
For GOD. Less than 10.
Less than 10, okay.
So the people have spoken. They got a decent amount. They got right around 53rd place votes. A little less than 52nd place votes as of right now. So I think that speaks volumes.
You know what honestly. I'd like to do, you know, when all is said and done and all the votes are in, and, you know, I don't want this to be collusion with New Japan or anything, but I'd love to show Ghetto, like, the breakdown of how people voted. And I'd like to say, see, G.O.D., you know, less than 10 first place votes. You might want to kind of, you know, rethink their position on the card here, if you know what I'm saying.
Again, I'm not saying that they're going to use this as a booking decision, but I know people within the company know these things exist. So I don't think that a lot of this is going to fall too hard on deaf ears. Now, again, a company that you can't always go on the fans' whims, right? Because fans will put you out of fucking business quicker than they, you know, themselves.
The fans are fickle.
They are fickle. So, but again, they have to use that as a guide, and I think they do. So there you go. So GOD not faring too well. KES not doing that well as well.
Well, I mean, they showed up what? Okay, so they showed up at the beginning of the year with Suzuki Goon, and then of course Lance Archer had that unfortunate injury. Then they came back fairly recently.
Yeah, wasn't that far? Like midsummer is when Archer was back because they hit the ring. Remember?
Yeah.
They did the jump him. So
right.
They don't really have a large body of work that you can dig from, but yeah, they're going to struggle this year for any type of first, second, or third place.
And the last nominee was a bit of a Damon McDonald decision. I wasn't gung-ho on this, but Evil, Ibushi, and Sanada are in.
And have you taken a look at the votes?
I have not.
Evil, Ibushi, and Sanada have more votes than KES, has more votes than Taguchi and Ricochet, more votes than GOD for first place.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that that is based on the matches that they've had throughout the course of the year?
Sure.
Or do you think that is based on, in large part, the popularity of LIJ?
I think that has to – you can't hand wave that. But, yeah, I think match quality is in there.
I mean, cannot name off the top of my head one Evil Bushi Sanada Never Trios match other than the one from the Dome.
Okay, but I will say that if you take them into consideration, one, they're the longest reigning six-man champs.
They
that
are.
That has to say something, right? Two, they're – even though it's multi-man, there's more people involved. You can't hand wave the performances that they have every single fucking show with the LIJ chaos or, you know, mix match thereof. Matches that every show there's a multi-man tag with them in it. You got to give them some credit, and they're all good.
Oh yeah, they haven't had any bad matches. I'm just saying, when I think about it, nothing jumps out at me right away.
No.
But listen, if you feel that Evil, Bushi, and Sanada, I could definitely see the argument for them being ahead of GOD and KES for sure.
Well, I think some of this has to do with a vote for Sanada, Evil, and Bushi is, you know, a vote basically saying, I don't like anything in this fucking heavyweight division. Right?
So it's almost like a protest vote in a way.
Almost. Yeah, that's you could probably say that there's some of that in there as well.
They're so the libertarian candidates.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're
they're the Greens.
Yeah, that might be the case. That might very well be the case.
Next category, most improved wrestler of the year. This should be an interesting one.
I think it's interesting in the sense that Juice Robinson is doing very well for himself.
As is to be expected.
Right, and this is the second year in a row, right?
Yes. You know what? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Who won?
Well, no. I know who won last year. It was Yoshihashi.
Okay.
It was Yoshihashi who kind of, you know, I don't know what happened to him in 2017, but Juice Robinson, man,
he was in the mix, right?
I can tell you right now, he's going to be my first place vote this year for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a lot of people's first place votes. Between him and Evil, I think is really where we're looking for this one.
Yeah, you could definitely make a strong case for Evil too. The matches he had during the G1, of course, the two matches with Okada this year.
Yeah. So even last year, you know, with Juice and the improvements that he had, even leading up to this year, where he's, you know, really shot up, he's really just going through the roof, and the votes, you know, the listeners are agreeing with that statement. So I think it's a two dog race. I think it's this one's between Evil and Juice. The Young Lions are doing pretty well for themselves, particularly Kawato.
Yep, Kawato and Kitamura are in there.
Yep, Kawato doing a little bit better as it stands right now. But to me, you know, again, I hate to keep saying it, early exit poll show, Juice, Evil, and then Kawato in third as of right now.
And we've also got El Desperado in there, very deserving, in my opinion.
He's cleaning up on those third place votes. Those third place votes, he's got over 100, right? So over 100 people said he's deserving to be in the top three, which is nice. Yeah, I think he's had a strong year. I mean, here's the thing. I think he's always been a very good wrestler, to be truthful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's always had it. It's just, you know,
he had more opportunities this year, I think, to really stand out, especially in that Best of the Super Juniors tournament, where I think that opened a lot of people's eyes, including yours truly, to the talents of El Desperado.
I agree. So, you know, where we talk about how the booking may have hurt a person like Kushida on some of these awards, I think the booking definitely helped a guy like El Desperado. There's only so far you're going to go with being a Suzuki-gun geek, right? And he was able to break out of the pack a little bit and do some nice things on his own and shine. And I think, I think our listeners are recognizing that.
All right, next category, biggest disappointment of 2017. My favorite category, Damon, because it's the most negative.
This is where we really shit on New Japan.
That's right.
Fuck them. Lordy Lou.
Let's get into these nominees here.
Please, because, well, I think one is a no-brainer. Right?
Yeah, okay, so the first one right off the bat, Minoru Suzuki's never title run, a run that not only went nowhere, but did absolutely nothing for this never title, did nothing for Suzuki, and those matches that Suzuki has had as never champ, the matches with Goto, the matches with Elgin,
yeah.
I hate to kind of hand wave them, but not great standout matches by any stretch of the imagination.
Doing no one any favors.
No,
matches.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody
gets
over.
And I think everyone who saw him strolling down the aisle at Corkin Hall, myself included, was very excited to see him. We were hoping he would be a nice little spark. And again, he has been to a certain degree. And I don't want to shit all over Suzuki.
No, he's had one of my favorite matches of the year against Okada from the G1. I love that match.
Right, and I like the one previous. Was it New Beginning, right?
Yep, New Beginning.
Yep. You know, minus the
even though Okada didn't sell the leg.
Right.
Worked on the leg for a half hour. Okada sprung right up.
All right. So, listen, he's a well-oiled machine. He's an athlete. He's able to take
Suzuki took a chainsaw to it and
amputated his leg.
Yeah, Okada just duct taped it back together and kipped up.
Well, look, what are you going to do? I think everyone would agree. Well, again, not everyone, but I think lots of people would agree that's deserving to be on there, and that's doing okay for itself when it comes to disappointments, sure. And I think everyone would agree that it has been a bit of a disappointment. What else is on this list, Colin?
For the third year in a row, I believe, the heavyweight tag team division is one of the nominees.
It has to be, right? What are you going to do? In third year in a row,
maybe
3 years in a row.
Maybe the third time will be the charm, in the sense that it will kind of open up New Japan's eyes and make them say, you know.
Look, maybe, as much as we bitch and moan about it, Colin. Finances, the financial numbers were released. and I don't have.
I was just reading them earlier today, actually.
Is that right? Yep. Yeah, I mean they're doing well.
They're
right?
doing very well.
This is, and again, the multiple revenue streams help this, right?
Right.
Again,
New Japan the World.
Yep. They're pulling in numbers, financial numbers that they haven't pulled in since, you know, 95-ish, right? When they were running multiple dome shows throughout the year, right?
Yeah,
pretty impressive. I mean, keep in mind that was their only revenue stream. Truth be told, it was like, you know, that those big shows, not even those big shows, like live house gates. And now with all those other means of income, look, it's very good. I'm not the biggest guy when it comes to those type of numbers. Like some of that stuff kind of confuses me.
That goes right over my head. I'm the least, you know, financially apt person that you're ever going to speak to. Trust me.
Right. Just tell me we're doing good or we're doing bad.
Right. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Exactly.
It's like the Netflix ratings.
Exactly. That's all I need. Kidani's at the meeting. How many Rotten Tomatoes do we have?
Well, we're at 63% certified fresh.
Ah, business is good. All right. So there's that. What else we got in here? Heavyweight tag straps, we know.
Yeah, heavyweight tag division. We've got Jim Ross and Josh Barnett's live G1 commentary. And you know what? I almost kind of wish that Josh Barnett's name wasn't in there, because I think that he did an okay job. I think that the backlash surrounding that Long Beach commentary was more so directed to Jim Ross.
Maybe, but you know, you can't let a Barnett off the hook. Both of them, you know, that's a team effort to me, and that.
Well, it's hard when one of your teammates has no idea who he's even watching in the ring. Just
you know
saying.
What? Right. And it's hard when you got people in the company tweeting out how disappointed and how frustrated they were with that commentary. Right. Remember those tweets?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Right. So, look, nobody was happy with that. No one was happy with that. And it's getting plenty of votes. Plenty of votes as a disappointment. People forgot about it a little bit. People were like, great job by the PureCast. We forgot about that and how much that was a letdown. So, I don't want to say, I put in air quotes, doing well in biggest disappointment.
Next nominee, the injuries of Shibata and Honma. And speaking of Honma, we do have an update on him.
Yep.
And this is quite extraordinary, if I don't say so myself, because remember, like there was speculation, like there was concern that he was never going to walk again.
Yeah.
However, I mean, he's up, he's training, he's taking bumps again.
Wow.
And ready to, you know.
Taking bumps.
That is what it says per the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Damon. He's back in the gym. Training, started taking bumps, and again that's a miracle, considering that this guy was, you know, he spent 3.5 months relearning how to walk, and now he's taking bumps. Think about that.
I'm gonna give you straight from the gut. I mean, I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled that he's able to do that. That's fantastic news. I don't know if I'm too thrilled about him taking bumps right now. I'm assuming everything's safe. I'm assuming everything is.
I'm happy for him, but at the same time, it's scary. It's scary because this guy was paralyzed for a period.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't want to treat him like he's, you know, made of glass, but he had to get cleared, right? I'm sure he's not just going in there on his own willy-nilly. I'm sure he's had plenty of medical professionals that, you know, would speak better to this than me, but I mean, we're going from learning how to walk I'm sure he's not taking exploder suplexes off the top rope.
Sticking burning hammers on the apron.
Okay. Good. I'm thrilled that he's able to walk and perform things that maybe we take for granted.
Right.
But, that's great news. Listen, that's great news. Let's not harp on, oh my God, you know, our child is back on the bike after it broke his, you know, this is good news. This is very good news.
Yeah, and of no update on Katsuyori Shibata. I mean, I'm not even going to pretend to know how he's doing right now. But I will say, as far as this nominee goes, I really felt that we had to, you know, group the injuries of both of these guys together. Because, you know, how could you say that one was more, you know, they were both in bad shape, really bad shape. And Honma just happens to have made a more of a recovery than Shibata has at this point, but they're both grouped together. The injuries of Honma and Shibata, definitely a huge disappointment this year.
Yeah, and again, I'm saying this somewhat tongue in cheek and jokingly, but what animals wouldn't vote for that as the biggest disappointment?
<You're> right?
There's people. I mean, there's like 50 people that voted for Suzuki, you know?
Well, no, I mean, you could look at it differently, though. You can, like I've always sort of looked at this category as decisions that were made by the company, and certainly it wasn't the company's decision for what would happen to Shibata and Honma. So I think
counterpoint, devil's advocate, don't fucking get all...
I've got my torch lit.
You can only put your pitchforks away.
Like the villager ready to go after Frankenstein.
Frankendemon. You know, Shibata, correct me if I'm wrong, there were reports that he would be, you know, how he does that squint in the ring. Like he'd be like, you know, tightening his eyes and then opening them and tightening them and opening them like before a match. And you think it would be like some type of thing where it kind of psychs himself up or just prepares mentally. But apparently it was due to these, you know, these injuries, right? I don't go so far as to say concussions, but it was something to do with like what finally was his demise in pro wrestling. You mean to tell me there wasn't a fucking medical staff that knew this?
I mean, like, would think that there would be some medical professionals that were privy to this alarming behavior, right?
Right. I mean, I'm just saying. Listen, pro wrestlers are a rare breed. You know, they could get their, you know, heads cut off and they'd be like, I'm fine, I'm getting in the ring, I'm good, we're good. You know, just a surface wound, I'm fine. You know, they probably spend a lot of time hiding things because injuries mean you're not on tours, and injuries mean you're not getting paid.
That was always the pro wrestler's mentality, especially in Japan.
Well, right, exactly. I mean, they're cut from a different cloth altogether. But you mean to tell me some of these things didn't go noticed? I'm not saying that they put Shibata in a spot where he was destined to doom. I'm not saying that. I'm just questioning. Just questions. So, you know, when it comes to disappointment, is, you know, Honma's, it seemed like he just took a bad bump.
Yeah, it was that draping, that basic draping DDT from Jado that did him in.
Yeah. Banned the DDT, Com. Shibata's feels like this was... Again, not something that could have been avoided. Not saying that, but maybe I'm kind of leaning that way a little bit. All right. So that's that. All right. So that's a pretty big disappointment, I would say.
And final nominee for that category, David Finley, just floundering and going nowhere.
Yep, flounder. We got any flounder? I'm starving.
I think I have some in the freezer.
All right, rustle some up. Yeah, we've talked about it almost every single show, poor David, and where he is and where he's going. And again, disappointment? I think so. Considering all the people that have seemed to have rocketed by him, it is disappointing. All right, where else are we here, Colin? We're milking these awards, aren't we? All right,
we have got...
We don't want to talk about World Tags.
Anyway, we've got four more categories to talk about here. So, Unsung Hero of 2017. One of my favorite categories, actually. Always is.
This might as well just be the Ishii category, right?
Yes, the Tomohiro Ishii category. Of course, he is one of the nominees. I mean, even though he is in there for Wrestler of the Year, like he's still, like, I hate to use the expression fly under the radar. I don't even know if that's the correct expression, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, a guy who consistently and constantly gives great performances, doesn't know any other speed besides 10. He's running away with this category as it is right now. And I say that, you know, the things can change drastically, I'm sure. As soon as, you know, we get this posted on the classic Japanese board, you know, and these words reach your ears if you haven't voted already.
And I put it up on my bulletin board at work.
Yeah.
At the office.
Colin puts up his bake sale and the PureCast Awards. So, yeah, I think Ishii is a fan favorite, especially for this category. Another name that's in this group is Michael Elgin.
That's right, Big Mike. I mean, I'll say it again. Just take a look. Take a look at that Match of the Year category. Plenty of great Michael Elgin matches to be found.
Hard to put a finger on a guy who's had a better year than Michael Elgin. And again, just can't find a way to break through that glass ceiling, so to speak. So he's doing very well in this category as well. Who else we got in here?
We've got Ryusuke Taguchi.
Okay. So again, when we talk about the juniors, he's probably in that, you know, always reliable hand. Always, you know, you're going to get a good match out of him. He fills that middle section of a card very well. He had that IWGP junior run, tag title run. Again, I think for what he contributes and what he does for the juniors, I think he vastly is an unsung hero.
Can you believe that he was wrestling Kenny Omega just 3 years ago at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah.
That's almost like baffling to think about right now.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
That was a good match.
But here's the thing. If something were to go – like, he's a guy that you can depend on to be like you know, like a wrestling Dontaku, where you just need to kind of get cross a bridge between contenders,
or even like a Corican Hall like Christmas show.
Yeah,
you can put him in a high position on there up the card.
Absolutely, yeah. So I you know, he's one of those guys where when he gets the tap on the shoulder, he can deliver.
Those are some of my favorite shows of the year, by the way. Actually, those final two Corican shows.
Yeah,
I love
the snowflakes.
Them.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing the snowflakes.
They're so much
fall.
Fun.
They really are. They are great. I do like them. And then one last nominee, right?
Two last nominees, actually. Oh, okay. So El Desperado is an unsung hero as
right.
well.
We talked about him, right? We gave him his props.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place here. Yeah, final nominee, of course, Yuji Nagata. I mean, how could you not put him in this category, especially when you take into consideration his G1 performance?
G1 performance was stellar. Right, that was always a joy watching him try to get that win. His match against Tanahashi, I think, was a real pleasure. He holds down that middle card, lower middle card area. Even the stuff that he does with Nakanishi, again, it's some you know, it's not groundbreaking and it's not earth shattering, but it's still, you know, you can stomach it. It's enjoyable, and I think of all the dads that the kids like to call him. He's definitely the one that shines above the rest.
For sure. So. He's a cut above the rest. And he was at Rev Pro recently as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been getting some good shit. I was telling my London kids,
are they actually your kids? Did you father them?
Not that I know of. He could. We have very similar tastes. They're like my age. I don't know why I'm calling them kids. I was telling them they get some fucking great shit. Philly's been really struggling lately. We haven't gotten dick all. We're the Cork and Hall of the United States, remember? What happened? Jerks. All right, so that's that for Unsung, so get your votes in for that. And then next up is Show of the Year, right?
Yeah, Show of the Year is about 50 nominees here.
I vote for Show Tanaka.
Yeah, Show Tanaka probably is the Show of the Year, along with the of course, there's no Yo of the Year category, but...
No Yo of the Year.
Damon,
yeah,
right off the bat, the show that stands out the most to me out of all of these shows I'm looking at right now has got to be Dominion.
Dominion's doing very well, and there was some trouble with the ballot early. where Dominion wasn't showing up for people, and people were making it known, hey,
oh, they were freaking out.
Yeah, they were. I get text messages from Kyle, Dominion's not on the fucking list.
You stupid fuck. I relied on you to...
One fucking job you had, asshole.
All year.
All year, really. So it quickly got rectified. But yeah, Wrestle Kingdom, Dominion, G1s, all doing well. You know, some smatterings for Best of the Super Junior Finals. Yeah, I think it's between, though. New Beginnings done well in Osaka. That one did well and is doing well. New Beginning in Sapporo has done okay. Wrestle Kingdom and Dominion and G1s, depending upon what your flavor of G1 you like, those seem to be doing well so far.
Tell you what, I really did enjoy Long Beach Night 2, despite, of course, the Billy Gunn match with Hiroshi Tanahashi. Like, mm-hmm. if you take that out, that was a really enjoyable show.
It was a good show. I was really fucking hungover, though.
Really? You don't say.
Oh, my God. I was so hurting. I was a hurting. Oh!
Did you ever go back and watch it?
Yeah. Okay. I watched it. It was very good. It was very good. But I just remember. I remember one point. So I was doing a lot of apologizing to people that night.
It's a common Damon McDonald theme. Go ahead.
It really is. Great night. Next night, you gotta. Hey, sorry about that.
trying to rebuild that bridge, even though it's been scorched and it's like there's just ashes laying at the bottom of a pit.
I find it amazing sometimes that I'm actually the bridges actually get rebuilt. It's just unbelievable to me sometimes. Like I'm just like, what are you? Oh, never mind.
You've got a good infrastructure system in Damon Land.
Damon Land, I do have a good infrastructure. And here's the thing. My heart is in the right place. I know it doesn't seem like that, but it really is. So that like, was just – I remember doing a lot of that. I just remember one point I just grabbed somebody's chair. Like, it was just an open chair, and I had to sit down because the room was spinning so fucking hard. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm never doing this again. Why would I do this? Well, I'm never doing this again. And of course, I'd do it again, but that was the show was great, but I just remember at points like, oh, I wish the show would get over because I just gotta get the fuck out of here. It's not dying. All right, so that was good. All right, and then
last but not least, final two categories, which are write-in categories: listeners' favorite and least favorite wrestlers of the year.
I think again the problem with this is that it's a write-in, so the way that the form was tabulating votes. If you just typed in Omega, and then somebody typed in Kenny Omega, or if somebody put in capital letters Kenny Omega, they were all counted as different votes, right? So that's going to be the lone pain in the ass when it comes to tabulating the votes for this, because I got to take all the variations of Kenny Omega and put it in one pile, all the variations of Okada, and the same thing for least favorite. So, but I think in just quickly looking at it, I think. The favorites for favorite would be Omega, Okada, Naito. I would probably say those are the top vote getters as it stands, right? Ishii's going to get plenty. He'll do well. So those people are definitely in the mix. For least favorite, I think right now we're looking at
Yano's
in the mix. Yano is in the mix. I know that's your vote. Izuka's in the mix. Yoshihashi's getting plenty of votes.
Oh, poor Yoshihashi.
Yeah, he's
my, how the mighty have fallen.
And let's not forget Tai Chi getting plenty of votes for least favorite. There were a couple of the ones that I was kind of surprised.
Okada.
a couple Hirooki Goto's. A couple David Finley's.
No.
Couple Zack Sabre Jr.'s.
Is that really? Well, I guess I can understand how his style might not be everyone's cup of tea, but okay. All right. Hey, listen, this is the listener's vote. And another point I kind of want to make. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Like, if you want to just have fun with these categories and write in Damon McDonald in Japanese font, you know, not knock yourself out. But, you know, if you do want to take this seriously, these have to be wrestlers who are, like, in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it would be helpful. Roman Reigns, something together with a couple of Roman Reigns votes.
Again, just people having fun, you know, right. But if you don't want to, quote unquote, throw away your vote, try and write in somebody who's at least in New Japan, folks.
Guess what? We're going to get all fucking Damon McDonald's now just because you said it.
Probably.
Like, fuck you, Colin.
To spite me.
Yeah, just to fucking spite. A couple Daryl votes. Your favorite, Daryl.
Again, okay, you're having fun. I get it, but I don't know.
I almost wish
that next year we could have like a drop-down list of every single person on the roster for both of these categories. And
yeah, they could do it from there. That might be a really great idea, actually. Sami Callihan getting some votes. Wow-wee. Again,
saw one match with him against Cody Rhodes from Bola.
Cody Rhodes has gotten plenty of votes in this least favorite. Yoshi, please, for fuck's sake, repackage this uninteresting excitement killer Hashi.
Wow, the venom.
A little bit. So again, it's a fun, listen, everybody's going to have some fun with it. I enjoy reading them. I think some of them are hilarious. I did get a special chuckle out of the Damon McDonald in Hiragana. Good work out of everybody. I think everybody's enjoying it so far, and so far off to a great success. Again, Twitter account, it's a pinned post. Facebook account, pinned post. I think it was a pinned post on Reddit, but if it's not, by the time you get this, it's there. Just search for it. Classic board, it'll be on there shortly. So again, plenty of places to find it. You can vote. You can go, hey, you change your mind. You can go back and change your vote. You can only vote once. But again, third annual PureCast Awards are live. Be voting.
The most stacked year ever for the PureCast Year End Awards. So those are your nominees, folks. Again, Damon went over all the places that you can find them. Well, we've come to the point in the podcast where I get to play Brian Alvarez and say, Damon, tell us about New Japan. Because, full disclosure, folks, I did not get a chance to check out this morning's World Tag League show.
Let me get my paper.
very busy day for me. But I did check out the results. Two big takeaways from this show. Number one. Of course, the first A-block match was Goto and Yoshihashi versus Suzuki and Iizuka. Goto pinned Suzuki. So what does that kind of spell out for us?
Well, I think you can connect the dots on that one. I kind of feel like we'll see Goto and Suzuki for a never title come Dome season. And I don't know if I'm thrilled with that, but... you know what? Listen, Goto can have a good match with just about anybody. Suzuki, I feel like when he's focused on having a good match, can have a good match. I plead that it doesn't turn into one of those schmazolas where they're brawling all over Tokyo Dome. No one wants to see that. So,
hey, listen, if that is indeed the never title match for the Dome, you put Goto versus Suzuki and you have no Suzuki-gun shenanigans. I mean, these guys could have a really good, hard-hitting match where they just slap the shit out of each other. So, listen, they haven't done that thus far in 2017. I've been very, very disappointed with the matches that they've had. But I would be willing to give them the benefit of the doubt if they do indeed meet again at the Dome. So there's my thoughts on that.
I agree. No need for me to rehash that. I agree with those statements whatsoever. 100%. So that was an interesting finish. Not a bad match. It was, I mean, all things considered, it wasn't a bad match. I thought they went longer than I thought they should, but I did catch that match. I watched this show in spurts. I watched it for a couple different reasons. One, I wanted to see Sami Callihan and Juice, right? In the main event against Sanada and Evil. And I thought the match was good. I don't think it was great by any stretch of the imagination. I thought there was an interesting surprise finish to me.
Yeah, Juice and Sammy picking up the win with Juice hitting the pulp friction on Evil.
Yeah. Sammy looked like Sammy. And I mean that both as a negative and a positive, right?
I'm more of a Sami Zayn guy, personally.
Look at you. Here's the one thing that stuck out to me. And I don't mean to be negative on Sammy, because I don't mind Sammy. I think Sammy's fine. I know there's people that really just don't dig him. I will say this, though. He did look out of place. Like I felt like Juice looked like a pro wrestler. And Sonata looked like a pro wrestler. And Evil looked like a pro wrestler. And Sammy looked like he just got out of a fucking garage.
Doesn't he have the worst ring gear ever?
It really stinks. I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, God.
He looks like he just got done working on a 57 Chevy. Right? He looked like he just buffed out the scratch marks in my car.
Yeah, right? Maybe you can give him a call. And
I need help. Yeah, I mean, that to me stuck out like a sore thumb. The actual match, the ring work, that was fine. I didn't think that wasn't that bad.
And folks, listen, this isn't us being negative. That is going to be a reoccurring theme throughout this World Tag League. It was fine. Decent match. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. And again, they are what they are. I wanted to see Best Friends. I wanted to see how they made out, and they did okay. I think Elgin and Cobb look strong. Cobb, man, he does those spots straight out of Elgin, those power spots where those suplex spots where he's deadlifting somebody off the ground and just creative suplex power spots out of him. So I thought he shined in that match. They were in a 6-man tag. Or a multi-man tag. I think everybody did what they had to do. Cork and Hall, first night of the tour. Again, nothing to get too juiced up about, pardon the pun. But it was, I don't think there's anything there that you need to go see. I don't think there's anything that you need to go see. So, again, a nice solid out of 10, I give it a nice solid 5 or 6 for a show. So nothing to do backflips over quite yet when we get to the tag league.
Now, let me ask you this before we kind of wrap things up for this evening. I think that you and I, initially, when the A and B blocks were announced, we kind of both had Elgin and Cobb penciled in as emerging victorious as your World Tag League winners. However, like you said earlier, Cobb not booked for the Dome. Do you think...
Again, that might be just be... that. Again, I don't want everybody going into a panic.
Right.
And that might change as we're saying it, right? But from what I understand, the word that I got was that that's the case. And again, it might be bad information coming my way. Who knows?
Now, with this surprise Juice and Sammy win, what do you think the odds are of them walking away as World Tag League 2017 winners? Better spot for Juice. I would much rather see Juice wrestling for the heavyweight tag titles at the Dome than in a fucking Never Trios schmoz or in the Rumble. Especially considering the year he's had.
Yeah, I mean, I was led to believe that this was a Cobb Elgin kind of thing. And again, just doing the deduction. And, the biggest name that was kind of left out in the dark were, Juice, Elgin, and Fale, in my mind. Those were the biggest guys that didn't have anything to do.
And Goto.
So, well, right, but Goto was kind of, I didn't think Goto and Yoshihashi were going to win the fucking tag league. Right?
No.
I just didn't see that happening.
How about Ishii and Yano?
Right, exactly. So, to me, and I don't see fucking Fale and is it Fale and Chase?
Yeah, Fale and Chase.
No disrespect to Chase, but I don't think that's happening. So to me, it was Elgin and Cobbs to lose. And again, I'm not too concerned about it. I still think it's Elgin and Cobb that win it. I do. But we'll see. If Juice and Callahan. It's a good spot for Juice. Bad fucking spot for Elgin, that's for sure. Yeah, what do you do with Elgin at that point?
That's the question. What if Elgin and Cobb don't win? Okay, is Elgin? Are we going to have another Never Trios title gauntlet? And he'll be in that. And
with David Finley.
yeah. With David Finley, is he going to be in the New Japan Rumble yet again? I mean, God, if I was Michael Elgin,
I'll tell you what I would like to say. How about this?
What?
Tell me what. What?
No.
How about? I mean, if last resort, last fucking resort, Elgin and War Machine in the schmoz.
Elgin and War Machine in the Never Trios Gauntlet that we're assuming is going to happen. By the way, this is not confirmed in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Better than the New Japan Rumble, I guess.
I guess not by much, but I mean, it's a New Japan Rumble, just in a different variation.
Not as good as the heavyweight tag title picture, though.
How about this? Elgin and War Games. What do you think?
If Elgin showed up at War Games tonight,
wouldn't surprise me at this point.
I'd be all about that.
Really? All right. So that's that. So that's your World Tag League. I'm sure again, the finals are always good. But again, some of the stuff, you're going to get some diamonds in the rough. You're going to get some decent matches. It is a little bit more interesting than in past years because they did eliminate all the people that you knew weren't possibly going to win, the Omegas, the Okadas, and all that. So I think it's a little bit more interesting. Again, let's wait a little bit and we go deeper in World Tag League and we'll be a little bit more excited. All right, sounds good.
And we have got shows, World Tag League shows on NJPW World all throughout the week. We've got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. There's even a Thanksgiving show.
Really?
From Kobe. Yeah, Thursday, November 23rd.
Wow. All right.
Let me just see really quick what the main event for that Thanksgiving show is going to be here, if you would oblige me.
Go ahead. Listen, I'm excited for it. I'm hoping it's like a food fight battle royal.
What do we got here?
Like they do with the SmackDown show.
Yeah, right.
SmackDown shows, they would have like the food fight every year.
Oh, I remember. I remember somebody would always get thrown into the pool.
Pumpkin pie. Oh, the pool. Right.
Anyways,
so what's the main event? You got the main event there?
Yeah, so main event for the Thanksgiving show is a 6-man tag. We've got we've got Okada, Ospreay, and Ghetto taking on Naito, Bushi, and Hiromu.
Wow. That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that actually does sound pretty good. That could be very good, as a matter of fact.
There you go. Screw the football game.
Yeah, right?
Get the family around the television and pop on some New Japan.
Load up NJPW World on that Fire Stick or the Chromecast and enjoy some turkey sandwiches.
Kevin Kelly going to be there? That's the question.
At Thanksgiving?
Imagine Kevin Kelly getting that news if he has to give it. Like,
oh, my God. Could you imagine?
The family. Be like, well, kids, Kevin, dad's got to go to Japan again. Oh, what? That's right. I got to go cover this nonsense show. And where is it, Kobe?
Yeah, it is in Kobe. Or actually, it is in, and again, I'm going to butcher this, Hyogo?
Oh, my God, middle of nowhere, huh?
Hyogo, yeah, some farm town in the middle of nowhere. And let me just mention
Chris Charlton is yelling at us. It's a major city, you fuckers!
Probably. What the hell do we know? And I just want to mention the actual World Tag League matches that are going to be held on this very special Thanksgiving show. We've got an A-block match. We've got Owens and Fale versus Yujiro and Paige.
All right. A little Bullet Club battle there.
Yeah, a little Bullet Club battle. Another A-block. This is all A-block, actually. We have got Tenkozy versus Nagata and Nakanishi. So a battle of the dads.
Wow. Wow, this is, you know what, this actually makes me look forward to Thanksgiving with a family.
We've got Izuka and Suzuki versus Sanada and Evil. So Suzuki-Goon versus L.I.J.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So far, main event's good. All right, good.
And then we've got Callahan and Juice versus Yoshihashi and Goto.
That should be all right.
Yeah, that should be okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. There you go. There's your Thanksgiving holiday, everyone, for those of you celebrating in the U.S. All right. There we are. All right, we're done, right? I'm starving. I can hear people outside of my door just waiting to for me to wrap up so that we could spend some time together. All right, what do you got, Colin? Wrap this up in a nice little bow.
That is indeed the show for today, folks. We just want to thank you once again for tuning in each and every week. Took a little bit of a break last week, but that was in preparation for these year-end awards, which once again are pinned to the top of our Twitter, pinned to the top of our Facebook. They're going to be on voicesofwrestling.com pretty soon. I'm going to try and put them up there on newjapanpurocast.com. So, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and keep tuning in each and every week. We do appreciate it, and these awards are going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to December 15th, once we get all the votes tabulated. That is going to be a fun show to do in December. We've got that to look forward to. And that is all from me. Damon, any final words?
Final word is, again, let's not forget about the Takayama Fund. We're bringing over a wad of cash. We're trying to give it personally, just to hand it over to Suzuki himself on one of these shows that we'll be attending. So fingers crossed if we can make that happen. Kevin Kelly, if you've made it through this whole show, I will be contacting you to see if you can help us with that. That aside, again, $1, $2, $3, $12, $16, $60, whatever you can afford. Beerman 34 at AOL, Beerman 37. I forget. The Takayama
I'll retweet
fund.
It. How about that?
Yeah, Colin will take care of it. Look for that on Twitter, please. Whatever you can donate, we're going to hand over a wad of cash for a gentleman who's given us great pleasure throughout the years with his pro wrestling style and matches. So let's return the favor. All right. That's it for us, right? Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone in the States, right? This is our last show before that, and we'll hope you enjoy your turkey.
Alrighty, very good. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week for another edition of the New Japan Purocast. Happy Thanksgiving.